Hello, and welcome to our podcast, Managing Telecom Services, Innovating for Growth. My name is Kate Gerwig, and I'm the editor of TechTargets SearchTelecom.com. It's great to have you with us. In this podcast, we're going to talk about why communication service providers have to join the 21st century, deploy next-generation networks, and support their customers' changing use of the communications network infrastructure. Joining me today is Amy Larson DiCarlo, Principal Analyst of Internet and Managed Services at Current Analysis. Amy has also written for a number of telecom and enterprise IT publications. Amy and I have worked together in this industry for a long time, and I've asked her to come talk about what communication service providers need to deliver to create higher margins and differentiate themselves from their competitors or face selling commodity bits per second. Thanks for being here today, Amy.
Thanks, Kate. It's my pleasure. I'm very happy to be talking today about the current pressures on providers and also what the state of the market is today. Operators are really under the gun to come up with higher margin value-added services that will help them distinguish their offerings from those of their competitors. This is coming at a time when we're hearing words like reductions and recession more frequently than terms such as growth and opportunity, which is what we have been hearing the last few years. But I still think that there is plenty of room for expansion for service providers that are able to guarantee service quality and meet their customers' specific needs using a very stable and secure infrastructure. I'll also talk today about the importance of customer service support to maintaining and growing services, particularly as more carriers move into different market areas than they've traditionally targeted, such as the SMB space.
Thanks, Amy. Here's how we're going to do this. I'll ask Amy some questions, and she'll give us her answers. Let's get started. Amy, here's my first question. How is the current economic environment impacting the telecom industry?
Well, I am by no means a financial analyst. I have been observing the telecom space from close enough seat for long enough that I think I've seen quite a few, and I think you have too, quite a few ebbs and flows and ups and downs. And I think that for all the talk and emphasis on somewhat precarious state of the general economy, at this point, I think it's very premature to describe the telecom industry itself as being in any kind of significant trouble. I think that telecom services have just become too integral a part of business today and also consumer activities for anyone to consider walking away from this at this point. So I don't think that we're revisiting the trying times that we saw at the turn of the century.
Let's hope not.
But that said, I think that there are enough concerns about what impacts the general economy, the credit crunch, businesses reexamining their own spending, and then I think a number of businesses also kind of going out of business, unfortunately, or retooling, that telecom providers are having to take a very close look at their operations, at their service plans going forward, and looking, you know, ahead to try to determine how they can better differentiate what they have. They're also looking at still a fairly crowded space. There are lots of providers out there. So I think that providers have to look very aggressively at how they're spending their money, how their operational plans and their operating expenses. And they also need to look at the services they're offering, where there might be room for offering higher margin services, and also where they might want to revise the types of customers that they're targeting.
Amy, I think that's a perfect analysis of where the telecom market is during a time when everyone else is talking about recession. I don't think the telecom market is there from everything I've heard. But given that, these are trying times, here's my next question. Is there still room for revenue growth in this space, or should service providers expect flat revenues moving forward and just look for more areas to cut during a downturn?
I definitely think there's still room for growth for service, but I think that service providers have to think and act smart. Telecom operators need to look first and foremost at the pain points of their current customers and then work to address those. You know, there may be some new service opportunities that a provider can offer. There may be a way to upsell the current customers to using other services that might help ease their issues. And there may be some things they can do to the existing services that they offer to make them more attractive or more effective for their customers. And they also need to obviously be looking at attracting new customers and addressing new markets. I think that, you know, one example just in terms of some new services that service provider may already be offering where there's an area of opportunity is we're seeing more businesses becoming more comfortable with outsourcing functions that they have traditionally handled in-house. So there's plenty of opportunity for growth in the managed services space. there is also, of course, plenty of room for cost cutting, too. So, you know, it's not that service providers need to be focused on rolling out a number of new services and making improvements in their existing services, but they also need to look at their own expenses and try to retool some areas there.
Which, of course, is always a painful moment for any company. So given that, what are some of the techniques that providers can look at to lower their own operating costs?
Well, I think at the very highest level, providers can and should employ more automation and, you know, look for areas where they can improve the efficiency of their own processes through better software programming. So looking at something like SOA, service-oriented architecture, which will allow them to be able to maintain existing applications, but get their existing applications to talk to other applications so that they can improve the efficiency of their processes. I mean, basically what SOA does is you can use web services, or there are other techniques you can use, but web services to get different applications communicating with each other. So you may have a billing and provisioning application that previously did not talk and required an actual manual intervention, but you can actually get them to communicate. You can reuse different components within applications to create new processes. And this is also a way to continually improve your processes, keep your costs down, get services out to market quicker and less expensively, and also add some more automation, which I think is, you know, the key to keeping costs down. And also, obviously, the sort of the general look at efficiencies. Are you operating efficiently? Are you streamlining all of your activities? You know, and that's something that telecom operators, like any business, need to continually evaluate and reevaluate.
Absolutely. Now we've talked about operating costs, and we've talked about automation and software that will help providers run their businesses better. Let's look at the really optimistic side and talk about where the best revenue growth opportunities are in terms of types of services, geographies, and customer sets.
Well, I think at a very high level, I think we're looking at managed services as being a tremendous opportunity for most operators out there, and really managed services of all kinds. You know, I mentioned before that there is a growing comfort level, and I'm not saying that all businesses are comfortable with outtasking or outsourcing internal functions, but there's an increasing comfort level around this. For example, something like a messaging application, which a company may be managing internally now, might be an ideal candidate for a third-party hosting provider to take over for the company. We're seeing definitely a big trend towards that, and hosting providers have the data center infrastructure to support that, and now they can offer some models using software as a service delivery model, which is non-demand service model, which may involve a shared infrastructure where you have multiple clients using having their application residing on a single server, which is partitioned through virtualization software, so that the provider can keep its cost down, the operator can keep its cost down, and the customer is paying less. This is more of a subscription-based model, more flexible, so we're not talking about long-term agreements. We're talking about maybe a month-to-month arrangement. This is going to appeal to an entirely different customer set for some companies, so maybe looking at a mid-sized business or smaller business, but this also has some appeal for even a large enterprise. There are also a number of different other types of services that could fall very neatly into the managed services category. Things like security, where especially as a company begins to do more business online with external partners, they may need somebody to help monitor those transactions. They may also, even a very small business, may be required to comply with some industry standards, such as PCI, the payment card industry standard. And so they may need the extra support that an operator can provide to ensure that they're meeting their obligations in that area. You know, there are also even things like storage backup, online backup and recovery services, and these are being offered to customers, to businesses of all sizes. We're also seeing these being offered from carriers to small office and home office users and even some consumers. And then I think, you know, even down market, some business applications are being offered by a number of different providers that combine things like, you know, sort of the traditional desktop productivity applications are being packaged and offered through the cloud for small offices that might have 10 employees. And there are some very appealing packages in terms of price for the companies, but also for the operators. And it's a way to not just increase their margins, but also to decrease their churn.
interesting point you bring up, Amy, because we know that, as you know, it's always been difficult for large providers to sort of figure out how to move down market to pursue like very small companies or even mid-size, because they're oftentimes geared to the large enterprise.
Right.
So as providers move down market to pursue SMB customers, how do they need to adjust their approach in terms of better customer support, which always seems to be a sticking point?
Well, I think that it's really important to make this a priority. I'm not suggesting that operators don't pay attention to their larger customers, but their approach is entirely different with a large customer that has some significant internal resources to manage sometimes what may seem like very small problems internally. And also a large customer may better understand how to escalate the resolution of a problem, whereas a small customer may not even catch that there's an issue until it really impacts their operations. So that's the key, is to try to keep the small business operating, their service quality still be excellent. And so that means investing in, obviously, the network management tools, capabilities, and you know other resources to make sure that the infrastructure is in place to support optimal operations, but also making sure that the customer has a degree of hand-holding without losing the automated aspect to it. So that may mean where we're talking about the customer actually just calling in with a question, and maybe that is actually an offshore resource for the operator. The operator needs to make sure that their offshore resources or onshore resources that are handling any help desk interactions are properly trained and have the proper tools and know how to escalate a problem. But there's also some self-administration tools which are really critical. It's important that there be a very effective portal for the customer to use, that the portal understand how to use it, and that there may be some things the customer can actually do on its own to check, to you know maybe do some fine-tuning of performance, to understand in advance of a problem where they may actually be undersubscribed and may require some additional service bandwidth. You know, so you know, these things should all be in place, and also it gives that customer a sense of control over their own destiny. So if they have an administrative portal that they can access, understand, you know, what their statistics are, know how they are doing and how the provider is doing in terms of meeting its service level obligations, I think they'll feel more comfortable and they'll be more inclined to be loyal to that provider, and I think that that is obviously what the provider should be pursuing. So it is a critical investment, particularly, not just the small and medium-sized businesses, but particularly with the SMB market, especially those that are maybe entering the managed services space for the first time.
Okay, great. Amy, thank you so much. I know you've made me feel more optimistic about the economy and the options and the opportunities that service providers have. Unfortunately, we're out of time for today. I want to thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything you'd like to add before we sign off?
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been my pleasure, and I think that there is plenty of opportunity here for growth and expansion, and I think that this is a very exciting time in this market. We're seeing a real sea change in the way a lot of businesses are conducting their operations, and I think that service providers can capitalize on this to really grow their own operations.
Perfect summary. Thank you, Amy. I would like to tell everyone that this podcast has been brought to you by TechTargetsSearchTelecom.com and sponsored by Alcatel-Lucent. Thanks for joining us.